just radio.
I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, oh, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts.
Oh. Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity Webworks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Away from the online marketing Kool-Aid bar.
Gentlemen, you look great.
Genuine 160 proof old Anglo-Saxon, baby.
Get into it.
Get down with this.
Enjoy the refreshing, cool, crisp taste of proven business and marketing strategies, tactics, trends, and techniques.
Give me a break, will you?
How exciting is that?
I am a man what don't believe in embarrassing lady folks.
I'm home.
I am not in the mood.
I'm sad.
I'm not shy.
I do not apologize.
Is that too much?
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Is this behavior possible?
Let's have a party.
Let's make love.
Ready on the lights, on the action, on the camera.
I'd like to see the man in charge.
My lips are sealed.
I'm going to warn you right now, I have a massive headache. So you better be on your best freaking behavior. Yeah! Sometimes you just get up in the morning because you didn't get enough sleep the night before. And then you get the headache and you end up paying for it. Isn't that lovely? Hey, Viktor Frankl once said about change, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. And John F. Kennedy, you remember him? Change is a law of life, and those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. The only thing that's constant, that's right, is change. So today we are going to talk about business startup strategy. Now, when I say business startup strategy, I don't necessarily mean starting a new business, although that would apply. But it could be developing a new product, a new service. That's kind of a startup within a business. So today I want to talk a little bit about how to create the right business name. As entrepreneurs, we need to know the empirical need to get the name of our business or businesses absolutely correct. If we get it wrong, say hello to mass market consumer confusion. That's bad. So what's in a name? How do we go about imagining and bringing a name to life that's trusted, sought after, and sustainably remembered? We'll talk about that on the program today. Also, we'll check in with Sasha Strauss. He's amazing. Going to talk a little bit about phases of strategic brand development. Back to the brand thing again. Brand architecture, if you will. And Neil Cabbage, he'll introduce the value creation plane. Are you familiar with that? The value creation plane? As it relates to your business's fundamental goal of contributing value to society in exchange for monetary compensation? Well, all that's ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live.
Yeah!
Did I mention that I have a little headache? Okay, I feel much better.
Yeah!
Owie. So I went to bed, you know, had a great, you know, fell asleep, thought I got some really good rest. And then, of course, I generally lay down about 1:30 or 2, and I'm thinking, I am exhausted. This bed feels amazing. Head on pillow. And no sooner than that, then the circus kicks in. Like a three-ring circus in my head. So then I got to get up. I got to get the water. Then when I'm up at the water and I got to go potty, so I go in and I do the potty. Then the dog's got to go out scratching at the door. Then all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, that coffee pot looks pretty good over there, so I better just check it out. Then I'm making a pot of Keurig, and the next thing you know, the rest of my day. It's funny, too, because a lot of times, you know, when you do an international radio program like this, there's a lot of really hot babes that listen to this program. And you're a hot babe whether you weigh 4,000 tons or whether you're like a pencil. You're a hot babe just merely because you listen to this program. You can be a guy and be a hot babe.
Yeah! All right?
You have no idea. I mean, you know me one way on this program, and certainly, you know, the stuff that I do here each and every day, and probably the stuff, you know, at Trinity. But you have no idea. My day starts out with an absolute freaking circus.
Yeah!
Every day. That's right. So now that we've just blown, what is it, about 5 or 6 minutes in the program now, and I've been jipping you from all of this amazing knowledge I want to share, let's just bully right up to the bar and let's talk about something that's really kind of fun. You know, we're talking about what I might do. You know, the picture that I used in today's post over at Google Plus. You know, I got my boots up there. We got Tom Blubaugh with a big smile on his face. There's other little subliminal things within that shot that make that shot really cool. Tell you a lot about me just by looking at that picture. Well, what about guys like Richard Branson? What's Sir Richard Branson do every day? How does he get his day started? What about Zuckerberg? What about Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Twitter? How about Tory Burch, fashion designer and CEO of Tory Burch LLC? How about Arianna Huffington? How does she start her day at the Huffington Post? Well, guess what? Dear friend Jeff Weiss, entrepreneur, amazing entrepreneurial staff writer, put together this piece I wanted to share with you this morning. And he opens it up by saying, while mere mortals stumble groggily out of bed in the morning, or worse, lay prostrate before the irresistible lure of the snooze button, the world's most successful business leaders have mastered routines to kick off their days with productive vim and vigor. I added vim, all right? So here's what some of the people are doing in the morning, okay? Like Butt Zuckerberg, creator of Facebook, right? Worth like $22 billion. Here's what he does. He rises at 8 a.m., when he hasn't been working all night, wears the same T-shirt, and every day, I guess he avoids, he doesn't want to wash it because he doesn't want to waste time and deciding what he needs to wear. So he just leaves the thing on. You ever do that? You ever wear the same clothes 2 days in a row? I haven't changed since I was 30.
Yeah!
Good to the last drop. All right. Richard Branson, what's he doing in the morning? He swims around his island and goes kite surfing if it's windy, then plays tennis before sitting down for a healthy breakfast. Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Twitter and Square, wakes up at 5:30 to meditate, followed by a 6-mile jog. And looking at his physique, it's a wonder he needs a calorie.
Yeah!
Somebody got a calorie for Jack? You need to eat, Jack. You're looking thin. When, you know, watch this. Here's Lord Alan Sugar. Now, who's this guy? He's the host of Apprentice and Business Mogul, worth about $900 million. When not on his way to the Apprentice boardroom at 5 a.m., he hops on his bike for a 50-mile ride through the Essex countryside. True story. And this guy's no spring chicken. I mean, he looks about as old as my dad, and he's in his 70s. Tory Burch, she looks pretty amazing. Fashion designer and CEO. Could you imagine if you were like a fashion designer and you look like an idiot? Yeah! What does an idiot look like anyway? So she's a fashion designer and CEO of Tony Burch LLC. She's worth $726 million. Here's how she wakes up. She wakes up at 5:45 a.m., immediately checks her work emails, gets her three boys out of bed, and takes a 45-minute exercise, just like a quick walk. Here's Peter Jones, Dragon's Den. He's an investor. Gets a shower, shaves, and a bowl of cereal, all within 20 minutes before grabbing a cappuccino and checking sales figures on his way to work. Tim Armstrong, chairman and CEO of AOL, worth about $265 million. He gets it up at 5 a.m. to fit in some reading and a workout before testing products and firing off work emails. Simon Cowell, you know him, X Factor creator, right? And Judge, worth about $211 million. He resets the snooze button twice before being served breakfast of hot water with lemon, papaya juice with lime, oatmeal, tea, and three smoothies. Arianna Huffington, the Huffington Post, worth about $23 million, gets lots of beauty sleep and starts every morning with 30 minutes of meditation. She's so convinced of the benefits that she offers weekly classes to her own employees there at her firm. And then finally, Indra Nooyi, she is the CEO of Pepsi, amazing woman, wakes up as early as 4 a.m. and is in the office no later than 7 a.m. So there's what some of the people are doing. You know, I'll just be honest with you. These people have been very dishonest, I think, right here with our friends over at Entrepreneur, especially, you know, when Jeff Weiss was taking this interview. Not any of them. First thing I do is go to the bathroom. First thing I do. First thing out of bed. Okay, we're going to talk about how to create the right business name in a minute, but first let's talk about brand architecture. Phases of strategic brand development. Sasha Strauss is amazing at DocStock. He checks in, and here's what he has to say this morning.
In previous videos, we've talked about things like the words that you use to describe your business. But you have to respect that you might have a business name and you might have a portfolio of services, but you might actually name them. Like, you might actually decide that it's not just one company. We make many things, right? A really simple example of this is what Apple does. They don't just say everything is Apple. There's Apple, and then they have the iPhone product line, which has multiple variations, or the iPod, right? iPod. It's been around a long time. There's hundreds of iterations, colors and shapes. There was the U2 iPod, shuffle, multiple colors, right? But because they've got a master brand called Apple and a sub-brand called iPod, and then they have multiple versions of it, it makes it very easy for you and I to have this conversation. That science, that architectural structure that defines how these products and services are related to one another is actually called brand architecture. It's the way in which you manage what products and services you provide, so it makes it as easy as possible for people to understand that, oh, it's not about Microsoft Word or Microsoft Photoshop, it's about Microsoft Office. It's not about Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator, and Adobe InDesign, it's about Adobe Creative Suite. It simplifies the related products and services so that consumers can build a relationship with multiple things at the same time. And brand architecture is simply the mapping of what your intentions are. How many products and services are you going to offer? How are they related to one another? How are they not related, right? BMW owns Mini. They intentionally keep them separate, right? The Mini owner wants to drive a Mini. The BMW owner wants to drive BMWs. And if you even look at the BMW brand architecture, you'll notice that it's not just BMW, right? There's the 3 Series, the 5 Series, the 7 Series. You see how they've created like an alphanumeric system to make it as easy as possible for you to understand what model is right for you, how to upgrade. How do you represent your personal character? Well, I am sporty and young. I'm going to drive a 3 Series, right? You get that context. Well, that framing of those products and services makes them easier for people to find, buy, and then ultimately advocate for. Like, literally explain it to their friends and say, I bought the M5 because, right? And that makes people more proud of their associations, and they tend to upgrade faster. So again, we call that brand architecture, the way in which you manage your portfolio of brand assets so that they feel related to one another, so that consumers can make the easiest choice possible, be proud of what they've chosen, and know exactly how to sustain their relationship with you.
Strategist Radio.
It's about 6:16 right now for your Thursday morning. How are you? 21st day of May 2015. Here's what's on tap for tomorrow's program as we close out the week for Friday. Book marketing strategy. How to avoid costly PR mistakes. You do not want to miss tomorrow's program. You know, we do this program Monday through Friday live from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. If you miss any portion of the program, that's okay. Well, it's not okay. It kind of pisses me off because I'm not just getting up for my health. I'm here for you. But in the event that you do miss the program, I still love you anyway. We turn it into a podcast right after each live airing. You can help yourself to all the free archives. See how giving I am, even when you piss me off? The free archives on the hub at tjmarino.com. And while you're there, join the inner circle, about 83,000 strong globally. That's just how we all collaborate. If you don't opt in, we can't share what you do. We don't share what you do. No one knows who you are or where you are. No one knows about your products. And soon, you will be completely out of business. So, see you in the inner circle, tjmarino.com. Okay, we'll talk about business startup strategy in a minute and how to create the right business name, because I know you're chomping at the bit right now for this one. But I first want to share something that might be new to you. Neil Kabaj checks in, introduces the value creation plane. You know what that is? In the event that you don't, or in the event that you heard it once and forgot, or maybe you want to hear Neil spin because you're so smart, it relates to your business's fundamental goal of contributing value to society in exchange for monetary compensation. Neil Kabaj shares.
Fundamentally, your goal as a business is to create value for society in exchange for some monetary compensation. You might do this because you're a new business and you're trying to find new opportunities to serve the market. Or you might be already in the market with a mature product, but you're looking to break out of substitutable comparison with your competition, something that will set you aside so that you are perceived as different or creating new value. To serve this purpose, we've created the value creation plane. This takes two different spectrums and juxtaposes them on a Cartesian plane. The x-axis is represented by business function. On one side, we have monetization, and on the other is innovation. The y-axis is represented by perceived value. The top is emotion, entertainment, and the bottom is logic, solving a problem. We take these two spectrums and we juxtapose them on the plane to create four quadrants. Now the goal is to try to look at where the market currently is and plot that somewhere on that plane. And then we're going to try to find some way to transcend to one of the other quadrants and thus create new value. As an example, consider coffee. You can buy coffee, freeze-dried coffee at the grocery store and consume it at home. It's a cheap product. It's the ultimate commodity. And in this regard, I would put it in the bottom left quadrant. This is something that is easily monetized, and it's productive. You're looking for the most cost-effective way to consume caffeine. Starbucks did a great job of taking the commodity of coffee and pushing it over to the right, making it more innovative. Now, there's a place where you can go and work, get access to Wi-Fi. Or you can go there on a Saturday night and socialize with your friends and drink coffee that tastes more like a dessert. Or what about Apple computers? They took a personal computer, which is squarely in the bottom right quadrant, and they shifted it up by appealing to emotions with elegance and design. Or what about Netflix? They went from monetizing existing content in the upper left quadrant, and they shifted that to the right by innovating and creating their own content. Or what about LinkedIn? They took a social network which is in the upper right-hand quadrant, and they shifted it down by making it productive. Now, it's not only a productive tool, it just also happens to be a social network. So as you go through planning out your new product, your new business, think about how you can create new value, how you can take something that already exists in the market and transcend to another quadrant. Think about how you can possibly create new value and thus set yourself aside from the competition.
Strategist Radio.
Twenty past six. How you doing this morning? Big plans for the day. I hope you have an amazing day, by the way. Thanks for being my friend. It means the world to me. Thanks for your emails, too. Hey, if there's something bugging you, got a question, got a comment, hey, we invent this program and reinvent it around where it hurts. Just say where. Send an email to support at tjmarino.com. Love to read your input. Then on Fridays as we produce the program, it's likely that we will talk about something that, you know, achieve your goal, solve your problem, satisfy your need. If you'd like to come on the program and be a guest, same email address, let us know. Support at tjmarino.com. All right. Business startup strategy. Let's talk about how to create the right business name. How do we go about doing that? Oh, something I wanted to share with you before. I'm going to just digress for a second because I was talking about change in our earlier quotes because I like to do the quotes at the opening of the program. Maya Angelou, I just got to share this with you. It's like, I think Dr. Wayne Dyer said the same thing. If you can't change the way things are, then you got to change the way you look at them. She's, you know, essentially saying the same thing here. If you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude. One of the ones I like, and I've seen it a bunch of times, and it just came across the dance floor a few minutes ago. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Isn't that interesting? We want to go out and do big things out there, but we don't want to look at ourselves, do we? And that's where the home, it starts in the home. And the home is in our heart. The home is where we live. The home is our mind. Okay? Let's be an example to the world. That's what I tell you every day. Go out and look for those opportunities to share the love. Go out and look for somebody who needs a hug or a handshake or just a smile. Call a friend. Call your mother. Forgive somebody for something stupid they did to you. Likely you've done something stupid to somebody else, right? Share the love. All right. So let's talk about how to go about creating the right business name. And there's a variety of ways to go about it. What's in a name? A lot's in a name. If you come up with the wrong name, then you're going to confuse the audience. You're going to confuse your target audience. You're going to confuse your branding message. The object is to come up with a name that exudes service, selection, maybe innovation, value, credibility, quality. It can still be clever. You know, one of the things that I always consult on, and if, for the last 10 years, this is how I teach it, come up with the name of the company. And this is, again, when you're brainstorming. Come up with a whole bunch of names. But you come up with the name of the company. You know, for example, what's a Nike? What's a Google? People don't know what that is. Something else has to be attached to. If you come up with a name that's very ambiguous, then you have to create a tagline. So somebody can go, okay, Google, I don't know what that means. However, I see that the tagline better frames the actual name that confused me. And then if your tagline is ambiguous as well as the name, then you have to come up with some sort of a description. So I always tell clients, start with the description, come up with a tagline, and reverse engineer it, then come up with the name. So the description is, what do you do? What is your mission? What is your objective as an organization? It's the same thing with a product or service. What is the product? What's the function of the product? What's the mission, the feature, the benefit? And what's the objective? How do people use this thing? What's it going to cost? You start off with your description. You then shorten it up, maybe 7-15 words. 15 would be rushing it. 7-15 words is your tagline. And then you kind of work on that single one, two, or three names as the name of your organization. All right. Enlist the help of an expert. You know, coming up with a good business name can be a complicated process. You might consider consulting an expert, especially if you're in a field in which your company name may influence the success of your business. Naming firms have elaborate systems for creating new names, and they know their way around the trademark laws, because that's the other thing you've got to consider. Now, the cost is going to probably give you a tummy ache. Professional naming firms can charge as much as $80,000 to deliver a name. Doesn't mean it has to always be $80,000, but it's expensive if you want to get, depending on the type of business you're building. But there are also companies out there that do catch words, that have naming services that charge as little as $50, and they exist too. The problem is you need to make sure that you're doing your research and your feasibility to a name. So once you come up with this description, your tagline, and the name that you think you'd like to use, you need to shop it around. You need to check with your friends. You need to check with people in the target audience and see how they feel about it. So you got to make sure that your name really signifies, and I like to keep it simple. I mean, I'm not saying that Sergey Brin and Larry Page, in coming up with Google, and the rest of the stakeholders that came up with that term, or Apple, which is a fruit, or a record company, a.k.a. Beatles, or Steve Jobs, Apple Computers, it's a piece of fruit. And that can be confusing. If you're a company that's a startup, you've got a real tight budget, entry level, you really want to come up, like, for instance, the name of our firm, Trinity Web Works. When we first started, we wanted to make sure that they just understood it by the name of the company. And then our slogan, our tagline, helps to shore up and helps to clarify any of the missing pieces in Trinity Web Works. What does Trinity Web Work do? What does the company do? And that's where you come up with your tagline, talking about marketing strategy, helping businesses make more money, helping businesses increase market share. So always, I would say, don't get too clever with your name. You want to keep this in mind. Choose a name that appeals not only to you, but also to the kind of customers that you're trying to attract. Choose a comforting or similar name that conjures up pleasant memories so customers respond to your business on an emotional level. Remember, people buy on emotion. They start getting logical. What happens? They got to go think about it. Don't pick a name that is too long or confusing. Stay away from cute puns that only you understand. And don't use the word Inc. after your name unless your company is actually incorporated. And that's a little bit of legalese there. And I would always suggest coming up with your business name. Make sure you run it through the gauntlet. Get it in front of an attorney. Make sure you're checking trademark, intellectual property, so you don't pick a name that somebody else already has registered. Very, very important. Okay? That's a wrap. I love you very much. God bless you. Make it a great rest of your Thursday. For tomorrow's program, Book Marketing Strategy, in and out, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Set your alarm clock. Tell your friends. Strategy tomorrow is how to avoid costly PR mistakes. Make it a great rest of your Thursday. Please go out and love somebody today. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly, please close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.